Well, good afternoon, everyone. So happy to have you along for this Friday. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Pastor Ron, good to be with you.
Aren't we blessed, Dwight? It's good to be with you, Dwight. We are so blessed to get to come in and on Fridays get to do this and just enjoy opening the Word. We've been doing this series called Unpacking Truth. And, man, we've been taking things verse by verse and just looking at them and studying them and having a great time here. And I think last week we thought we might get through more of the 23rd Psalm than we did, but we only got through the first verse. nothing long-winded about us. But thank God for His Word. And, man, what a pleasure it is, Dwight, just to be here on these afternoons and just opening the Word of God and fellowshipping around it. It's good.
Yes, indeed it is. And the series is called Unpacking Truth. And we're taking scriptures and verses that in this case, most people are very familiar with Psalms 23, and just kind of breaking it down line by line, word by word, and just plumbing the depths as much as we can of what God is saying to us here. David wrote this, as we mentioned last week, during a very difficult time in his life. Many people believe who've studied this wrote the 23rd Psalm when Absalom, his son, was attempting to basically take over the kingdom and even kill his own father. So it was, a difficult time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe that it was, but it was a hard time. And when he sat down and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we spent last week's program just delving into literally almost word by word what the true benefit, the meaning of that particular verse. Mm-hmm. So let's move on, shall we, to this one. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He starts talking about the Lord, first of all, giving Him praise for who He is. And then he moves to talking about the Lord's activity in his life. "Maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, that is a serene, peaceful picture if I've ever heard it.
You know, Dwight, this word, "he maketh," is the word that means to level, to equal, or to adjust. I don't know how the Lord does this. I mean, I've been following for 40 years. I still haven't figured this out. It's just because He's God. You know, it's like, but He can adjust things, level things out. He maketh. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." It's like He can level things out and adjust things and equalize things to where you'll turn around one day and life will be so hard and things will be tough. And then you'll turn around and it's like, "Man, here I am in green pastures." I mean, it's like, how He does that. It has to, it's God, you know. But you know, Dwight, I think the key, we can't forget this, is David had experienced the Lordship. He made Jesus the Lord. He made the Father the Lord over his life. And in this difficult time, you know, Dwight, he realized that if God be for me, who could be against me? You know, I mean, you have to get to that point. And if when you begin to change your focus, like we talked a little bit about last week, keep your focus on "the Lord be my shepherd, I shall not want," then it makes your heart to the place that you are more adaptable, flexible, pliable. It makes your heart to the place where He can get you to the green pasture. But if you resist that and you're always focusing on the problem, you're always focusing on my sin, you know, it's like, God knew you sinned when you did it and before you did it and after you did it, and He still sent Jesus to die for us. You know, it's like, so we don't want to minimize the trials or the sins or the problems, but we have to get to the place in our life that we shift our focus and put our focus on the Lord as the one that can equalize. I can't equalize when someone does me wrong. I can't equalize that, but the Lord can. He's got ways. I'm telling you, He's got ways. He can do things. But this word "maketh" means that He equalizes or adjusts things to get you to green pastures. Glory to God.
You know, and I see that, you know, and I've had those experiences in my life too. I'm sure you have, Pastor Ron, that, you know, there's this mountain out there, that there's this problem out there, there's this need out there. And we're kind of just believing God day by day, maybe dropping back in our faith, just getting a little bit. But then we just day by day take those little small steps and trust God. And then we kind of look around and say, "Where'd that go?" Where'd that go? I didn't know, but it just now it's level. It's steady. It's adjusted. It's a level playing field. And if they have in the world, what happened here? That's God.
That's God.
And one thing that maketh doesn't mean, I'd like for you to talk about this food. Maketh does not mean force.
I'm gonna make you mine.
Have you ever heard that?
Oh gosh, not from God.
But I've heard they lot growing up. And they did make me mine. They were right. Well, but God doesn't twist your arm to do anything.
He's not in that type of. I've heard people. I heard a man say one time. There's this guy that had gone through a real bad car accident, and hurt himself really bad. And I heard him say, "Well, God's just spanking him." And I thought, no, I mean it just something. I mean, almost Dwight, really literally. I almost became physically sick when he said that, because when you know our Father and you know His name and you know what His names mean and you understand His goodness. You understand that people have accidents and things happen, but it's not God making. You know, what would it be if I made Beth marry me? I mean, if I made her, you know. I told someone sometime I could take Beth and lock my wife and lock her up in a room and tie her up and put a chastity belt on her. But if her heart's not for me, why? I'm wasting my time. You know, it's like, why bother with that? Why would we see that in our own hearts with in our relationship with people? We wouldn't see God the Father. He's not going to make someone follow Him. He's not going to make you lie down in green pastures if you don't want to. You know, it's like you get to the place where you really want Him in your life, and then the level field becomes adjusted. He begins to equalize and makes green pastures for us.
We're glad you're with us. This is Local Matters for a Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're unpacking truth in the Word of God, and what we're unpacking the last two or three weeks, and this one, maybe several weeks to come, here's the 23rd Psalm, and we're in the second verse. He maketh me to lie down, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, the picture in my mind that I see, I mean, green pastures and laying down, still waters and standing beside them. To me, that is a picture, and I've heard you say this before from the pulpit of Living Hope, peace and prosperity.
Yes.
And the word and peace there, Pastor Ron, is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling.
No.
It might produce a good feeling, but it's more than that. And I love one definition that I believe applies here. You know, nothing missing, nothing broken.
Yes.
Where, nothing missing and that peace and prosperity, not just financially, although I believe God does want to bless us financially as we obey His words with tithing and offerings and that sort of thing, but prosperity financially, materially, socially, spiritually, physically. That is what I think David is saying there. He takes me to that those green pastures. He leads me to those green pastures. He leads me to peace and prosperity.
And what faith, Dwight, think about this. What faith is this man exhibiting here in God with his whole kingdom collapsing? He's saying, God, you're taking me to a place of peace and plenty. But my son is trying to kill me. I mean, it's like, you know, what faith he's exhibiting here and how pleasing that must have been to God for him to pen this at this horrible trial in his life, this horrible time in his life. And, you know, my heart breaks when people are going through trials. My heart breaks to know that his own son was trying to take the kingdom away from him. But Dwight, he had a faith that was so far beyond those circumstances. I mean, to say that God is going to take me to green pastures and take me to still waters right in the middle of that mess. I mean, you can read a lot about that story about what Absalom did to shame his father and how he embarrassed him publicly and all that he did to his leaders. And I mean, it was just a mess. It was a big mess. But here he's saying, God is a God of peace and a God of plenty. And he's taking me to that place. And I mean, it's like, what faith, what rest, what recognition of who God was, not what man was doing, but who God was in his life. You know, what recognition of that. And that had to be pleasing to the Father.
The God that he was serving, who he was on the inside, was much bigger than whatever circumstance was on the outside.
Yes.
And, you know, now I'm sitting here thinking, Pastor Ron, as you share that with us, that, you know, that inspired him as he wrote these things.
Yes.
Here we are hundreds and hundreds of years later, and it has the same impact on us today. It's still alive. It's still fresh. It's sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes, amen. I mean, just as I'm reading this, Dwight, and you know, this peace and plenty where he calls me to lie down in green pastures, which means plenty, and lead me beside the still waters, which means peace, or nothing missing, nothing broken.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the heart of God in that, you know, and I think at some point here in our Unpacking Truth, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus himself said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We all hear songs about, well, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more crying, dying, yeah. sighing, no more tears, no more sorrow. Well, Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
Wow.
And this is what's happening when this man is going through this great trial. The Lord is still Dwight. He's still the Lord, and he's still leading him by into green pastures and still water, peace and plenty, right in the middle of this trial, bringing heaven to earth. But now what we have to look at this. One thing that I think, Dwight, we fail a lot of times, we can become so rigid in our Christianity that we fail to allow the flexibility of the Holy Spirit to lead us. And the Holy Spirit is not like a straight, he's not like walking a tightrope. The Holy Spirit's more like a river. He flows, and there may be a curve, but he flows like a river. Jesus even said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, speaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we have to be at that point in our lives to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and be sensitive to that voice of the Lord doing that.
We've got a couple minutes before we need to take a break, Pastor Ron, but my sense is the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful thing that we are earthly vessels with heavenly treasure in us, and that the Holy Spirit can lead us. Talk about that more specifically, and start it now. We might need to pick it up after the break, you know, in your life, and I know you mentioned been in ministry for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Holy Spirit has led you.
Yes.
And not twisted your arm, not made you, not forced you, but, I mean, has led. And you don't have to be in full-time ministry, as we said. I mean, the Holy Spirit wants to lead everybody every day.
And, I mean, that's, Dwight, that begins, and this is where I think Christianity and spirituality change from religion. Those leaderships actually come through desires in your own heart. And what we have to learn is we have to learn that the Lord is wanting us to fulfill those desires, but he wants to do them his way,
yeah.
because his way will lead to more life. When we get desires and we want to do them our way, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They said, you know, we'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it won't kill us. We won't die like God said we will. But see, we have to watch that same attitude creeping into our life. When we're being led by the Holy Spirit, we're coming to a place of surrender. We're coming to a place like the Lord. Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I'm surrendering to his will, and not just in regard to thumb down on you, but in regard to trusting a good father.
Glad you're with us today. We're back with more in a moment. This is Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We are unpacking truth, taking word by word, line by line through scriptures of the Bible to learn more ourselves and maybe be a blessing, hopefully, to those who are listening today. And specifically, we're looking at the 23rd Psalm. And we've explored the first two verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me into still waters, pastures and waters, peace and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pastor Ron, I'm learning that you know, you God wants us to enjoy life while he's helping us work out problems.
Yes.
We can enjoy. I mean, we put off our happiness sometimes.
Oh.
Well, as soon as I get this car paid for, as soon as I get this kid raised, as soon as I get over the flu, and this and that, and we postpone our happiness, and we say, and I'll be happy or I'll be satisfied. No, there's something else out there until we learn that lesson that, no, this is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. And that's what that verse says to me about peace and prosperity, green pastures and smooth waters. You know, enjoy today. You know, don't let the circumstances, don't become a puppet to your circumstances. God is with you today.
Oh, man, Dwight, I tell you, did you hit the nail on the head with that one? Because, you know, you think about David here, what this man was going through, and but yet he recognized God is Jehovah Shammah.
Yeah.
He's the God that's present.
Yeah.
He's present now. He's not coming later. He's here with me right now.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He is my shepherd right now. He's with me right now. And today is the day of salvation. And Dwight, that's where, you know, on a practical level, moment by moment, you know, when you're a waitress is waiting on you at a restaurant, or you're going through a checkout line, or you're at a traffic light and somebody does something crazy, or somebody pulls out in front of you or whatever, to try to remember that, you know, they're people too. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what problems they're having. That cashier at that checkout line could be a single mom or single dad that are trying to raise kids and going through struggles that we have no idea what they're going through. There could be issues facing people. And when we're in a now moment with the presence of the Lord, and it's every moment that he's with us. I remember one time I had my shoe wouldn't come untied. And so I put my foot up on the bumper of my car, and I was just praying. I said, Lord, just help me get this untied. And I was speaking to that knot. I said, knot, I just speak to you to come untied. So my friend was standing there next to me. He said, I'll tell you what, Ronnie. He said, I believe you'd pray over anything. Well, when you learn the presence of the Lord,
yeah,
it doesn't matter how small or how big it is.
No.
You're aware of his presence. And Jehovah Shammah, that means he's present with us, his name. Learning his names is so important, but his name, Jehovah Shammah, is present. He's with us. He's here, and his Holy Spirit is with us. And you recognize that. You think, man, he can lead me by still waters and green pastures. He can restore my soul. He can do this right now. He can help me through any issue I'm facing in life. Not only can he, but he wants to.
Yeah, yeah. And that leads us to verse 3 in the 23rd Psalm. And I love this. It said, let me read it, and then we'll kind of break it. We'll unpack it.
Okay.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Spirit. We're spirit beings. We have a soulless realm, mind, will, and emotions. Mm-hmm. We live in a body. First part of that verse says, he restoreth my soul. Talk about that, Pastor Ron.
That being said, we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. You know, our spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit when we become a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you know, it's real simple. Don't complicate it. You believe in your heart. Most people believe on Jesus, but this is the part where they've got to make it. This is the part where it changes. You believe in your heart in Jesus. You believe that God raised him from the dead, but then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and the scripture says you'll be saved. And so when we think about our spirits become born again at that point, but our mind, our will, and our emotions aren't born again at that point. They're not renewed. And
they're right where they were.
They're right where they were, because I can remember even after I got saved having a lot of the same religious belief systems that I had before I got saved. And wasn't even a church, didn't even know the Lord, hadn't even studied his word. But I had a whole lot of religious belief systems. Man, I know God is this way, and I know God is that way, and this way, and that way, and just ran. Just really ran people off from me because I was such a stick in the mud. You know, I didn't even know who God was, but I was dogmatic, and I was, you know, and so when we come to the place of him restoring our soul, it simply means he is renewing our mind to think the way he thinks. You know, at that point when I first became a Christian, I thought I knew everything about God. If I'd run across the woman at the well, I'd have kicked her in the hind end and run her off. You know what I'm saying?
You heathen,
you get out of here.
You got a lot of nerve even talking to Jesus.
I know. But after a while, you begin to realize, man, God is merciful to people. He cares about people. He loves them. He's not trying to trip someone up or catch them in a fault because he knows them already, but he's trying to get people lifted up out of those And by doing that, he causes their spirits to be born again when they accept Christ
in
their life.
Which happens immediately.
It happens immediately. But that soul being renewed, that soul being restored is a very, it's a journey, it's a process in life of learning God and who he is.
We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Local Matters, we are unpacking truth. We're in the middle of the 23rd Psalm. The third verse says, "He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The completed work of Christ, Pastor Ron, included the completed work of Christ, a work for our spirit,
yep,
a work for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and a work for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
A wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's for our soul's realm, and by his stripes were the healed. He did a work for all parts, yep, of our being, and David is reflecting there on the soul's realm, the mind, will, and emotions, which is what resists us, you know, which has to be renewed. We renew our mind, the book of Romans says, and we renew it by filling it with the Word of God.
And Dwight, you know, one of the keys here is renewing our mind beyond religion.
Yeah.
You know, I think I may have said this last week, but I want to reiterate this. I don't even like the term religious because I'm not a religious person. I'm a Christian. I'm a spiritual person. You can be religious about anything. And one of the things that God will do if we let him through his word, he will renew our mind from being religious, hard, mean. The Pharisees read the same Bible that Jesus did.
Yeah.
But man, they were hard. They were mean. They were, yeah, cruel to people. Had 613 rules you had to keep every day. But Jesus came. They were wanting to stone the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus said, "Woman, I don't condemn you. Just go and sin no more. Learn from this.
Now, grow out of it." He didn't condone that.
He didn't condone it?
No.
He didn't condone the woman at the well. You know, she'd been married 5 times, Dwight, and was living with someone. He didn't condone her, but he didn't condemn that. And a lot of people fail to see that they think if you don't condemn someone, well, you're going to let them get by with it. No, nobody gets by with anything. It catches up with you. Life gets, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It happens. That sin will kill you. It's not God killing you, it's sin killing you.
Yeah.
But the Lord is trying to renew our minds out of this religious state into a state where we are trusting him and walking with him on this journey. We're not trying to correct everybody else and make everybody else right. We're more concerned about our heart and our relationship with him, and we want everybody in on this good deal. You know, we preach because we want everybody in on this good deal. It's not we're trying to make them right. You're not going to make somebody right. God is the one that does that. He's the judge of heaven and earth, not us. So when we talk about our minds, our souls being restored, are being renewed, that's what we're talking about.
You know, nobody ever came to Christ. I read this recently. Nobody ever came to Christ because they lost an argument.
That's the truth.
and hopefully I've never been there. Maybe I have. But sometimes I see people that I appreciate what they stand for, but maybe don't appreciate the spirit they stand in.
Yes.
Which is oftentimes a condemning spirit, yeah, and a pharisaical type thing.
Yep.
You know. Let's look at the minutes we have left. He restoreth my soul. So he not only did a work for spirit, but so we can take our, he can take our unrenewed mind. And 2 Timothy says we have a sound mind, mm-hmm, a mind that can be changed, a mind that can be disciplined, a mind that can move from where it is now, mm-hmm, to the mind of Christ that,
yes,
we have the potential of using. Mm-hmm. So don't ever think you're stuck. And one good way to do it is just keep that word in front of you.
Yep.
You know, get in a good church where the Bible is preached, yep, and taught. You know, get in the word regularly for yourself. Sit down 15 minutes, 30 minutes, yep, a day and just read it. I mean, starting and just read. A new Christian probably maybe start with Matthew, and when Jesus was on the earth. And that you're going to find that your mind will start to be renewed and take advantage of what God has done here. But listen to this, Pastor Ron. He said, "He leads me, he restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." He leads me in the path of righteousness. So what the phrase that leaps out at me there in that particular verse is for his name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
His name is on the line.
Yes.
It's his name.
Yeah.
It's not based on our performance. It's based on his performance. The name of Jesus is on the line there.
Well, and you think about the names of God, Dwight. I mean, it's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rohi, my healer, Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd,
yeah,
Jehovah Shammah, the God that's present. I mean, if you know his name, there's no way you're going to go around saying God's breaking people's legs.
Yeah.
If you know his name. And see, he's saying, for my name's sake, all of this is happening to David. He leads me by still waters. He moves me into green pastures. He restores my soul. This is happening for the sakes of the names of God.
Yeah.
Who God has identified himself as being, as a being. This is who God says he is, not what man says about God, but what God himself says he is. And Jesus even said in John 17, Dwight, that he was even praying then for thy name's sake.
Yeah.
I'm praying this prayer for these disciples that they may be one as God and Jesus were one. Sure. I mean, that's phenomenal. We think about that.
Yeah, really. Well, it's been good.
Oh, it has.
Let's do it again next week.
All right, we will.
So happy to have you with us. Your host, Dwight Henry, for Pastor Ron Allen, saying join us next week, same time, for Local Matters.